self-centered Christianity. The Holy Ghost wants to really unravel the preoccupation that so many Christians at this time have with themselves rather than with Christ. It's a tragic situation. It's one that must be rectified, or there will be no reaping of the harvest. Now, Holy Spirit was sent not so that we could examine ourselves 24/7 and do psychological gymnastics and undo all the past hurt or pain or fulfill every need that maybe not even is a need but is a want. No, He was sent to be our helper, our teacher, to lead us into all truth, to teach us concerning all things, to give us the strength to overcome, to help us in times of trouble, to help us to understand the will of God, the purpose of God, and our part in it, to teach us the deep things of God. He is there to teach us about truth, about who God is, to give us access to the Father, to sanctify us, to lead every step we take. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. He is not there as our personal psychologist or psychiatrist. He is not to be used as some kind of tool to get us to achieve our goals or to get what we want accomplished. If it is the will of the Father, yes, it will be accomplished. But He is God Himself, the person of God. And as it says, it's a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And Holy Spirit is the living God. And we need, once we get introduced to Him, once we begin to have a relationship with Him and realize it's safe to know Him. And in fact, without knowing Him, we won't understand the Word. We can't worship. We can't love. We can't even know which way to go. Once we get that, we now need to go to the next step. That next step is walk in Him and stop looking backwards. Stop trying to prove that we are accepted and approved of. Stop trying to believe that we're loved. We are loved. Jesus Christ proved that. There is nothing else He can do to prove that we are loved, redeemed, worthy. Now we have to stop looking towards ourselves, because Christianity is not about us. It's about Christ. It never was about us. The only place that Christianity is about us is that Jesus Christ was sent to redeem us. After we receive that truth and we are redeemed, made new creations, it's no longer about us. It's about Him and those He sends us to. In John 15:26, Jesus said to His disciples, "But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, He will testify of me. And you will also bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning." So our job is to bear witness of Jesus Christ. Not to figure out our bad childhood, or to unravel the abuse we had in church, or to heal ourselves of a disastrous situation, whether it's physical or emotional or mental. No, our job is to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. That all is what we need. Whatever it is we need will be added unto us. We don't do the adding, we do the seeking. If we diligently seek Him, He says He will reward us. But if we diligently seek ourselves, what is our reward? More of us? More complaints? More worry? More deception? More self-centeredness? Christianity, self-centered Christianity, as He's called this teaching, is a total oxymoron. There is meant to be nothing like that. There is no self-centeredness in Christianity. And yes, we still have flesh. And yes, we still have desires. And yes, we still make mistakes or even sin intentionally. But our lives should not be caught up in us and what we need. And even our pain of the past, that is washed away. Or do we rather prefer to cling on to it rather than cling on to Him? We have to ask ourselves this question. The harvest is white, he says. The harvest is white. The harvest is white. People around the world, whether it is our neighbor next door or someone thousands of miles away, are dying spiritually and physically. And our call is to do what? Testify of Him. He says in John 14:21, Jesus again speaking to the disciples, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." It doesn't say he will teach you all about yourself and what went wrong when you were a child and how to get free from abuse. No, that happens when we receive Christ. Now, that does not mean sometimes there isn't a process to go through. Yes, because we are in a walk of faith. But that does mean that we are not to make that our main focus, us. The main focus is not us. There's no freedom in being focused on yourself. That is a snare of the devil, because what does he want? He wants us to be caught up in us. If we're caught up in our flesh, then we're at enmity with God. That's what he wants. It's a device. It's not about God doesn't care about what happened to you when you were a child, or that you were horribly abused, or that you've had such a difficult life. Yes, he cares. That's why he sent Jesus. To heal you, cleanse you, free you, sanctify you, redeem you. And that's why he sent Holy Spirit, to walk you through his promises. To be fulfilled, to have the fullness of God. We already are one with God. Again, in John 17:23, Jesus says to his disciples, this is such a remarkable chapter, declaring the love of God for us. In fact, let's go to verse 20. "I do not pray for these alone," Jesus said, "but also for those who will believe in me through their word." That is us, believers. That's us. We are the ones to come that Jesus was speaking of. "That they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, and that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one." That is remarkable. We are one with God. Let's stop chasing that, as if we haven't gotten it already, as if it isn't already ours. We are one with God through Jesus Christ our Lord, by the living Spirit who indwells us. In 23, he says, "I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me." We are loved the same as Jesus. Let's get over it. Let's stop chasing his love. Let's stop trying to earn it, and let's stop bellyaching about our pain and our past, and just be one with him. We are loved on the same level, the same degree, the same passion, the same zeal as Jesus Christ is loved by the Father. That part's over. Now let's just live it. Live for him. And what does he say? What are we meant to do as we live for him? "That the world may believe that you sent me," so they can live for him. Christianity does not stop at our door. We're to spread it thick around the world, making disciples of all nations,
not spending all our time worrying about us, and then wondering why our problems never go. Why? Because we're always focused on us. And what you focus on is going to be more and more real, and it's going to augment. And it's total disobedience. Let's just be real about it. Let's be honest about it. We are disobeying God Himself. If our focus is inward, the only inward focus we're meant to have is in the Spirit, not about us. So can we finally accept, it says it in His Word, that we are loved. You have loved them. He's talking to the Father, as you have loved me. It's already done. It's been given. So let's stop pretending that we need to have His approval. Oh, Daddy loves me. Oh, I made a mistake, but He's still there for me. Oh, this is so good. We know that. Let's grow up into all things in Christ and save a dying world before it's too late for them. That love that He poured out for us, and now He poured it out through who? The Holy Spirit into our hearts. That love is to motivate us to love the world. Not to be stuck on, does He love me? Does He love me? I made a mistake. Does He love me? Oh, I hope He still loves me. Oh, does He still love me? Stop it, He says, Holy Spirit says, stop it. That love is for everyone, not just you. You're not the only person on the planet. There are 7 billion plus, and most of them don't know me. So don't you think it might be an important request to fulfill, a command to obey, to seek the lost, to make disciples of the nations, to love your neighbor as yourself? We are not here to seek approval from men. It says in 1 Thessalonians 2:4, but as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. We are to spread the gospel for the God who tests our hearts, not worrying about whether men like us or not, not worrying about other Christians approve of us or not. We are entrusted with the gospel, believers. The very truth of God. So that others too may be saved. That's our purpose. We want to know what the will of God is for our lives. That's it. Now, how that manifests in your life, whether you're an actress on a stage or a CEO of a company, or a mom staying at home raising amazing babies, it doesn't matter. You are entrusted with the gospel. Not to please men, but God who trusts your heart. Test your heart. And He wants to trust your heart, by the way. Are we trustworthy? Stop worrying about whether He approves of you or not. Does He love me when I make a mistake? What about my sin? Jesus took care of that. And when we do sin, we have an advocate. We repent. And repentance isn't just changing your mind. Oh, I shouldn't have done that. Sorry, Lord. No. Repentance is stop it. Stop doing what was wrong. That means you really mean it. Let us not be the ones that is spoken of in 2 Timothy 3. For they will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. We are warned, from such people turn away. Let's not be those people ourselves. And he says then in verse 7, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. When we are always looking back over our past, looking back over ourselves, trying to figure out whether God approves of us or not, does his daddy still love me or not, we're always learning, never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Because he already said, Jesus, when he was here, already said that the Father loves us as much as he loves him. It's already done. Now, he who gave himself for us, we are to live for him, not for ourselves. Why? Not only because he commanded it, but because there are people dying everywhere in the most horrific circumstances. And there are those that think they know him and have confessed the word, said Jesus Christ is Lord, but have no depth of connection with him, and he doesn't know them. There are people even like that in our very churches that are not born again and think they are because they said that prayer. But they're dead men. So if we're constantly looking at us, wanting to make ourselves shiny and new, that's not our job anyway. We can't do one iota of transformation on ourselves. Who does that? The Spirit of the living God transforms us from glory to glory into the image of Christ. We just yield and stop worrying about ourselves. We're set free to set free. Seek him first, and what we need will be added. Do we believe that or not? Is he trustworthy? Is he faithful to fulfill us or not? Or do we have to spend all our time protecting ourselves, figuring ourselves out, dissecting our lives, and telling everybody how much we found out that God really loved us? That's great. When you find that out, hallelujah! Now walk in that love so that others too can be replenished, so that others too can be saved. Time is short, believers. Time is short. Time is short. And if you are already saved, you have the greatest eternity, purpose, and will for your life already determined. Would you like someone else to have it? This is what Holy Spirit is saying. Please stop using me as some kind of psychological tool to make you feel better, because I am far more than that. I am the living God of truth, from whom you can be set free of all bondage, not by using me, but by yielding to me. Let me be God in your life. In the book of Acts, do we see the apostles self-analyzing, being caught up in themselves, being self-centered? Or do we see them seeking the lost, praying for the sick, and encouraging and edifying and correcting the church? They were sent. That's one of the definitions of apostles, to be sent, the sent ones. They were sent by God himself to seek those who were lost, who were hurting, and who were sick, and who were seeking him. The Holy Spirit is not any different. Just like Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Just like the Father, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Just like the Spirit, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the same. He will lead you to where he desires you to go for the good of the kingdom. You don't have to figure out your life. You don't have to predetermine what you were made for. He knows what you made you for in your mother's womb. You don't have to fix yourself, heal yourself, strengthen yourself, make yourself a better Christian. That's his job, to transform you into the image of Christ. That's his job. He's the potter, you're the clay. So what we're supposed to do is sit on that potter's wheel, shut up, and let him mold us as he sees fit. Not analyze what he's doing. Not constantly worry. It's like a false humility. Oh, I hope he approves of me still. I hope it's okay. Did I make a mistake? That's not what he's concerned with. Your mistakes. He's concerned with your heart. Is your heart yielded fully to him or not? Or do you have pockets in your heart that you still hold for yourself? You're still more interested in figuring out or working out yourself. Or parts of your heart that you don't believe he's really going to fulfill this something that he's promised years before. It's the condition of your heart that concerns him most. Because with a yielded heart, he can do the impossible. The apostles knew they were here for him. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by faith in him who gave himself for me. That's our life. That's our edict. That's our banner over our heads. For his glory. And this is the end of part 1 of this teaching, Self-Centered Christianity.